God bless you guys, and thank you for, wow, thank you for the children and the Bible school. It's amazing when you're where I'm at, you get to see God work on both ends. I've had a couple call me, and I know you guys have Cracker Barrel over here, right? Amen, we're in Tennessee. But I had a couple call me, and in Asheville, if somebody wants to meet with the preacher, you're going to meet at one place, Cracker Barrel. Had a couple call me and say, we'd like to meet with you and talk to you. We got something we want to do. So I said, okay. So I met with them, ate lunch with them before it was over with. They said, God laid it on our heart. We want to do something for your ministry over there. And we don't know what the need is, what's going on, but they gave me a check for $2,500. And I said, wow, I agree. Thank you so much. God bless you. Probably 24 to 48 hours later, got word from over there. In Mozambique, got word, two of our churches needed a roof, metal roof, leaking while they're trying to have church water coming in. And I said, well, how much would that be? $2,500. That's the blessing when you're where I'm at. I get to see God work on both ends. And see, God worked in those children's heart, and your pastor's heart, and God brought us together under that tent. And yeah, it's going to be exciting to me to see what God's got on the other side. And that's the way God works. You know, we serve a real God. You believe that? We serve a God who knows everything going on, and I get the joy of seeing both sides. But it's exciting for me. Like I shared with the Sunday School Hour, I pastored for 16 years. And the exciting thing for me is, you know, when you're pastoring, a lot of times you get to see God work in people's hearts, God work in people's hearts. But when you're in missions, I get to see God work on both sides. And it's exciting for me to see a man come up to me and say, God just broke my heart for your ministry, or broke my heart that story you told or whatever, and he'd give me something. Then I get over there, and all of a sudden you see that need and what God's doing, and you realize God done that and that man so God could meet this need. And it's exciting. It's exciting. We serve a real God. You believe that? Say amen. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. We got a lot of lost people here then, don't we? If you're glad you're saved, say amen. And God's still on the throne. Don't you believe that? And if you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. And I thank your pastor for giving the opportunity here this morning to preach to you. And I want to share with you what God has been working in my heart personally that I think we're missing out on. I think that but the amazing thing is I've heard this subject mentioned a few times already between Brother Steve, Pastor Vinoy. I've already heard this mentioned a little bit about we're here to praise, we're here to worship. We're here to meet with Him, to give God glory and to give Him honor. And God's been working in my heart in that. And I think one of the hardest books to study, of course, is the book of Revelation. And lately, a few weeks back, I started looking at those messages that God gave to each church. Jesus preached those churches a message to the Smyrna and Ephesus and Laodicea, Philadelphia. You know, He preached those churches a message. And the thing that convicted my heart was, that's some good churches. But about every one of them, before it was over with, Jesus rebuked them. He said, I got a problem, though. I got this against you. And so He would point something out to them. But after I got done with that, I continued on to Revelation 4. And I got to Revelation chapter number 5. And I got into the glory. Now follow me careful for a second. I got into the glory. They started glorifying the Lamb. They started bringing Him glory and bringing Him glory. Do you realize this morning what this place is? This is the house of God. Think about that for a second. How many of you are saved? Say amen. You know what you are? You're the temple of God. That means this place and this place is supposed to be a place where He's glorified. Now, heaven is where the glory is fully revealed. I mean, the glory. We're supposed to be a little taste of that. A taste of that. Just a little taste of heaven. When you think about that, and you start looking throughout the scriptures of the word glory, a lot of people don't even understand what that means. You ever been in church and a man get full of God and sinners? Glory! What does that mean? Glory. In the Hebrew, that word means heavy. Weight. You know what it truly is? It's what that subject or that person is worth. what it's worth. You know what we're here? To show you just how much God's worth. Just how much is God worth? Oh, we can't put a price on that. The glory of God. And have you ever seen the glory of God? You ever seen God glorify Himself? That's what your purpose in this life is, by the way. Your purpose when you got up this morning was to bring God glory. This 11 o'clock hour is to bring God glory. When you go home today, your house is to bring God glory. Your job is to bring God glory. Matter of fact, Paul brought it all together. He said, whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. In other words, everything you do, show just how much He's worth. Let Him magnify Himself. And then when you look at that word glory and you keep going, it's the splendor, the majesty of the one that we're talking about. A lot of times in the old days, the kings, after a victory, would have a big parade and a big entrance. And they would say, here they are in all their glory. In all their glory, here they come. And they would try to build it up with music and parades and big entrances going on. And they'd build them big temples and cathedrals. But let me tell you something. We're going to a place where we're going to see the glory of God. We can't fathom that. We can't bring that into anything we got going on. And I'm afraid that our churches have lost our purpose. We're to bring glory to God. Do you realize if we bring glory to God, that if a lost person walks through those back doors, they will immediately fall under conviction. They will immediately fall to a place of humility. They will immediately fall in the presence of God. Because you know what happens when we all get to heaven? Every one of us. Some people say, what else going to happen when I get there? You ain't running to see Papa. And you ain't going to run and throw your arms around the neck of Jesus. And you ain't going to want to hear Gabriel sing. And you ain't going to look for Peter for him to tell you a story about fishing. You're going to fall and bow in overwhelming awe of the glory and the presence of God. Now you take that thought just for a second. The Bible even tells us that John on the Isle of Patmos, when he turned around and he seen Jesus in all His glory, that he bowed. He said, I fell at His feet as dead. I was overwhelmed by the glory of God. And you think about all that for a second. You know what? The Bible tells us that the lost people will happen to them when they step up to the great white throne judgment. Immediately, without a word being spoken, they'll bow. Why? The glory of God. In His glory. So what if our churches got a taste of their purpose? That when this place become a place of glory, our lives become a place of glory. You realize that person that works with you is lost and as a blasphemer, they won't be able to stand to be around you. Not because you preach to them, just because there's something coming off you that convicts them. You realize you won't have lost church members because they won't be able to handle it. It'll get surreal. They have to get in or get out. You realize when lost people come through the back door, they say there's something there. It's not what the preacher said. It's not what the man said that was behind me, but there's a feeling there that I cannot get away from. And it gets on my nerves when I go over there. It's the glory of God. It's God showing Himself. You think about that for a second. That's what heaven is. That's what His presence is. That's what the purpose of our church is. The purpose of everything we do is to show His weight, His majesty, His majesty, just who God is and how mighty He is. And Bible, by the way, that's what heaven is. That's what heaven is. And when you think about that, turn with me into Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible tells us, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So these next few verses is all about in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So go down to verse number 11, and he tells us this, in whom, in other words, in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Don't let that word make you nervous. That means it's been predetermined. That was God's plan. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose. There it is. To the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And if you look at those verses and you bring them all together, he keeps talking about His glory, His glory, His glory. First, one thing I want to do, I want to make sure I fulfill whatever God's purpose is for my life. I talked about that in the Sunday school hour. We all have our work to do. But now in the 11 o'clock hour, I want us to think about this. Your purpose, not your job, but the purpose is to bring God glory. And you realize if you bring God glory, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong if you're glorifying God. Glorifying God means this. Just keep pointing to Him. Just keep pointing to Him. You know what the problem in our churches is? And I'm, let's be honest, our ministries are full of them. It's all about. Our churches are full of it. You know, people checking each other out, people weighing, comparing themselves with another. If it's truly about His glory, they won't be one ounce of pride. No pride at all. Because it ain't about you. And it ain't about me. You know one thing that's absent from heaven? Is pride. Because there ain't one person deserves to be there. And there ain't one person got there by anything they did. It's all about Him. That's the reason heaven will be so wonderful. That's the way church should be. That's where Christians should be. It ain't about you. It ain't about how good you are and this, that, and that. It's about Him. About bringing Him glory. And so when we're bringing Him glory, things happen. That's His purpose. You know that job you got that you hate? You know some of you can't wait till tomorrow morning, the alarm clock to go off. I mean, I know y'all are spiritual people. I bet when that alarm clock goes off, you sing, glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I'm so glad to hear that go off. Get go to another job, another day, Monday morning, going to my job. Yeah, right. But you know your job you've got? The purpose of you having a job is to bring God glory. That's the purpose of the job. That's the purpose. That family you got, that house you got, everything is purpose is to bring God glory. To bring God glory. To show just how wonderful He is. Now, how do you do that? We could stop right now and say, well, that's my purpose and that's what I need to do. But how do you do that? I think a lot of times our preaching, we tell people what to do. We don't really give them. Now, how does that happen? Well, this morning, I'm a three-pointer. So I'm going to give you three. So you can start counting down. When you get to number three, you're like, hallelujah, it's about time to go eat chicken now. You ready? I'm going to show you. For me, for Him, even for them little children that's been saved, it's all the same way. Nothing changes. Don't complicate it. It's very simple. God glorifies Himself through us in all three of these ways. Not all three of them I like, but this is how He glorifies Himself. By the way, let me help you. If you're glorifying God, then that's what people see God. You know what this world's looking for? Show me this God. Show me this God. And I believe what we've been showing them is our religion. And I've got a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. And both of them right now are serving God. They're in church this morning. I'm blessed. Humble and blessed. But you know what the 20-year-olds, the 17-year-olds, you know what that whole generation thinks? They hate religion. And you got to realize, I'm from a different generation than they're from. Well, there wasn't that. There's a hatred for religion. Especially what they call established religion. They don't want anything to do with it. But I believe if they see God, not our religion, God still draws people to Himself. So this morning, listen, this doesn't bring God glory. I got a suit on this morning. My wife said, I look good this morning. I got my tie on, got my nice new blue shirt on. I even got some of them decorative socks on that some of these guys, yeah, you got them on too. Hey, but you know, we think that's the picture. That don't bring God glory. That don't bring God glory. What brings Him glory? Let's look at them. Number one, God glorifies Himself through the cross. Through the cross. Well, you say, well, how's the cross seen in me? Well, the cross is seen in you. It's seen in you. See, how do you... God glorifies Himself through the cross. That's the big way God glorifies Himself. But how does the cross seen in you? Well, it's seen in you in two ways. Because when we look at Calvary and we look at the cross, I'll show you two things that come across very obvious. Number one is the holiness of God. See, Calvary was about the sin problem. It shows you the holiness of God. You say, well, how do I show people the cross? There's nothing that brings God any more glory than this. That man sitting back there that used to be a brawler, that used to gamble his paycheck away, and his wife have to get her a little job just to feed the children, and he spend Friday nights in the bars and come home late, sleep all day on Saturday hungover. That guy gets saved. And the next thing you know, he decides, I don't need to hang out with that crowd anymore. I think I need to spend time with my children. I think I need to spend time with my wife. I think I need to start going to church on Sunday morning. It ain't his rules that brings God glory. It's just him changed. You know what every one of you are? You're a trophy of God's grace. Every one of you, if you're saved, you have a testimony. Testimony, testimony, testimony. And your testimony consists of this. If you don't have this, you ain't saved. This is what I was. This is what happened. This is what I am now. If you ain't got them three, you ain't a trophy. I was this. You say, well, preacher, I was saved when I was 7 years old and I've never really tasted the world. I was just a lost church boy. That was me. My dad was a Baptist pastor. I was a lost church boy. I went to church on January the 13th, 1980, minded my own business. Only thing I cared about was whether the Dallas Cowboys go win the playoff game. Minded my own business. That Sunday night, he starts talking about the invitation towards the end. I'm sitting next to my mama. Boom! Something hit me like a ton of bricks. And now I can sit here and tell you, God's kept me. And I've never tasted. I've never tasted what drugs and the world tastes like. Not because of anything I am, just because of the goodness of God. You may be here and have one of these testimonies. I was raised this, and we didn't go to church, and I didn't know anything about God. Then one day, Brother Vinoy knocked on my door and invited me to church. And I went and heard Jesus loves me. I heard that it's not by anything I can do, and He sent His Son to pay for my sins. And boy, I called on His name, and now I'm this. You know what you are? You're a trophy. You're a trophy of God's grace. See, you don't have to say anything to glorify Him. You just got to be. See, I'm a big sports fan, and I know I'm in Tennessee Vol territory. But I hate to tell you, it's probably cost me a lot of money, a love offering, I guess. But I hate to tell you, I pull for the orange that's in South Carolina. All right? See, that? See, I already heard it. Oh, he ain't even saved. I'm a big Clemson fan, me and my son. That's one of the things we do, spend time together. But you know what? If you went to Knoxville and you walked in that football complex, you know what you'll see? Trophy. You see that national championship trophy and them conference championship trophies and them bowl game trophies. You see all them trophies around everywhere. You know what them trophies are saying? Nothing. They don't have to say anything. They're a testimony. They're a testimony of when we won something. And they just shine. We're trophies of God's grace. That's what we are. You know the reason Satan wants you to go stumble and mess up? Because you mar his glory. You mar his glory. So how do I display the cross? Number one, I display his holiness by a changed life. No change, no salvation. The Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. And then, not only that, but I show the cross by my changed life, the holiness of God, and I show it by the love of God. And you follow me real careful. If you're here this morning, and I believe I know your pastor's heart, I believe this man loves God, and I believe he's pure as he can come. I can just tell it. My spirit bears witness with his. If you're here this morning and you wandered in this church, Don't let Satan fool you. You're loved. You're loved. You say, I don't know about that. I've been dabbling in a secret addiction of pornography. If these people knew what I've been doing, they wouldn't let me in the back door. Let me tell you something. God still loves you. God still, there's one person you don't have to earn His love, and that's God. God loves you just because. Unconditionally. You say, preacher, ain't no way they'd throw me out of this church if they'd know my homosexuality. God still loves you. Haven't you had many abortions I've had? God still loves you. God still loves you. You know what Satan's convinced the world? That the church hates people. You'll never win a sinner until you show them you love them. Tomorrow, me and my wife getting on a plane, headed to the third world country, the poorest of the poorest of the poorest. And before I ever went there, I was told, if you cannot put your arm around these people, let them know you love them, you ain't going to make it. That's what I was told. And I grew up, I had one of those, I'm a worry wart. You got any of those people in here? Any of you graduate from the School of Worry? I got my doctorate from there. See, y'all been calling me doctor. That's what my doctorate is in, is worry. I'm a professional worrier. Some of you nodding nothing on your head, you've been there. We might have graduated together. Listen, I grew up worrying. I went through that stage where I washed my hands several times a day. I was afraid I was going to get sick, get germs, get this, get that. Now God's got a good sense of humor. Because now you know where He's put me? In the midst of a third world country where they have no soap. I'm shaking people's hands that have never washed their hands. And let me just put it plain to you. They don't have toilet paper either. Amen. Do you get where I'm going with that? And they carrying diseases that you wouldn't imagine. And they hadn't took baths and they smell. And they got, and the AIDS runs rampant. HIV runs rampant. Malaria. All that stuff is going galore, galore, galore. But you know what I've learned? If I can show them people I love them, my, they'll do anything for you. They'll listen to you preach all day long because they think we're actually above them. We go to places where they've never even seen a man with my color skin. Never. I've seen them run through the woods and hide because they thought they saw a ghost. But this is what we've learned. My wife does it too. As soon as I get out of the car, masses gather around, and they'll stand off a little bit. But guess what? I'll walk up to them and all. And as soon as you do that, ice is broke. And before long, they're coming to you grinning. They just want to shake my hand. And before you long, you grab one of them and hug them. My wife will pick them kids up and start hugging their babies. And they're like, you mean those white people are picking up our babies? They must be, because they think you're above them. We know that's not true, but that's what they think. How do you, point number one, to reach a lost person and to bring God glory? You love people. You love people. Let me help you with something this morning. If you're sitting here and you're filled with anger and bitterness and you're filled with frustration, and you're filled with judgmental spirit, Satan's got you right where he wants you. And you ain't bringing God one ounce of glory. Not one ounce. First, one thing our church is full up, it's gossiping, it's murmuring, it's backbiting, it's division, it's judging, it's all this stuff. God ain't within a million miles of that place. The Bible shows me that Jesus was judged. Said, you're a friend of sinners. Matter of fact, Jesus even went and he called a publican to be one of his disciples. Publicans was most despised of all the Jewish people. You know what that tells me? The ground's level at Calvary. How do you bring God glory? Is your life changed? Can everybody around you see you're a changed person? I mean, it's got to be obvious to your family. It's got to be obvious to your friends. And I'm not against it. But you don't need to wear a t-shirt every day that says Jesus died for you. You don't have to ride around with bumper stickers all over your car telling everybody they're going to hell. All you got to do is just be. You just be. You know, after a while, they'll notice your speech ain't like my speech. You don't go the places I go. There's something different about you. It's just shining off of you. And then when you start loving them, even though they're different than you, it's just shining off of you. You know what you're doing? You're bringing God glory. Bringing Him glory. And before long, God says, that's what I put you there for. I put you at that job for that. I put you at that school for that. I put you at that church for that. To bring me glory. To bring me honor. So I wonder this morning, we could probably call time out right now after point number one. And if we got honest, we'd fill this altar up. We'd fill it up. Why? Because we are full of the lack of what God called us to do. So number one, God glorifies Himself through the cross. And the cross is seen in our changed lives and in our love. Let me show you this verse right fast. Go with me back to John chapter number 12. Let's look at what Jesus said as He was thinking about the cross and His purpose. John chapter 12, verse number 27. Jesus says He's approaching the place that God's going to glorify Himself the most. Remember, Jesus says, I've come to bring you glory, Father. I've come to glorify Your name. John chapter 17, when He was praying, He says, this is the purpose of why I'm here. It's to glorify Your name. Then John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus Himself says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came into this hour. Then it's what He says about the cross. Father, glorify Your name. Glorify Your name. That's what happened at Calvary. God was greatly glorified. And that's what happens when a lost person's saved. God's greatly glorified. And that's what happens when you live like God wants you to live. You glorify His name. We're going to answer one day for how much we've revealed the glory of God. Let me give you number two right fast. How else does He besides the cross? Every time there's a crisis in your life, it's an opportunity to bring God glory. A crisis in your life. Now, y'all mentioned you're going to have revival and the tent meeting was over there. And, you know, I can just tell y'all kind of like I am. Now, I like churches. I like them services where God gets in it. And before you know it, hallelujah, it's better than it's like eating Kit Kats for supper. You know what I'm talking about? Just good. And you just can't get enough of it. And you feel the presence of God and people singing and people shouting. And it's just wonderful. You know what I'm talking about? But let's be honest. If you don't know if God's really glorified, let me go with you on Tuesday morning when your world's upside down. That's your opportunity to glorify His name. Let me come to your house on Thursday night when the husband and wife decided they're not going to get a divorce, but we just might kill one another. You know what I'm talking about? Let me come to your house when your children, there's tension in the family. Let me come to your house when Satan walks into your Bible study and convinces you that God ain't even real. Starts convincing you, when's the last time God answered your prayers? When's the last time this? And on we go. What's going on? You're in a crisis. You're in a crisis. Or maybe we're one of them situations like he was talking about earlier. Maybe you're going to these situations where you're like, I can't even pay my own bills. There's more going out than they are coming in. You say, how does that bring God glory? Because the Bible tells us, Paul, when he was going through that in Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I got on my knees and I prayed three times. God, remove this thorn. Please, God. Now, I don't think he was just having an orthodoxy prayer. I think he was crying out to God. God, remove it. Please, God. Crying out. You ever cried out to God and it felt like the heavens were silent? All of a sudden, nobody talks about this stuff in church. Everybody talks about the blessings. But the Christian life is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you've never been into one of those what they call wine presses where you feel like your mind's getting squeezed good, you feel like your heart's breaking, you feel like God's a million miles away, that's your opportunity right there. It's coming. It's coming. Because when the night's the darkest, that light will be the brightest. Paul prayed, God help me. God help me. Please remove it. Please remove it. And God broke the silence with this. When you're weak, I'm strong. You know what God's glory is? Showing His strength. That's what His glory is. Let me share this story from our orphanage in Malawi. There's a little girl there named Mawai. Mawai's about 10 or 11 years old now. She's been in our orphanage about 2 years. She came to our orphanage because her mom, when she was born, her mom did not want her. So her mom took her head as a baby and twisted it. And when she did that, it didn't kill Mawai, but it damaged her and paralyzed her from waist down. And Mawai now will sit in a chair at the orphanage, and she'll just sit there with her legs kind of like that. Like that. But guess who the happiest person in the room is? Mawai. Guess who can sing like nobody else? Mawai. Guess who's glorifying God more than anybody else? Mawai. How's that possible? Because in her crisis, she's decided, isn't God good anyway? Isn't God good anyway? Can I tell you something? If your heart's breaking this morning and you're sitting here and you're like, they're saying amen, and I'm doing all I can to hold the tears back. Matter of fact, this is all I can do to get in the car and drive over here this morning. I'll be honest with you, I'm about had enough. I don't think I can take much more. And you're about at wit's end, like we say. Let's be honest. Can I help you with something this morning? I don't care how bad it gets. Two things. Number one, it could always be worse. And number two, you still got it better than you deserve. And there's only one way out of that hole you're in. There's only one way out of that hole. Only one way out of that hole. Satan's going to try to give you every outlet he can. You follow me. He's going to try to give you every outlet he can to get out of that hole. There's only one way out of that hole. Start glorifying God. Because when you start glorifying Him, the clouds start rolling a little bit. Things start changing. You take my word for it. I sat in that preacher's living room, his kitchen, at a kitchen table one time. That preacher I was talking about introduced me to that missionary. I said, I was young in the ministry. I was going through a place. I had a growing church going crazy. Behind closed doors, I was about to lose my mind. I was. Satan had launched an attack on my mind. I was about to lose my mind. And I went and I sat down in his kitchen. And I'll never forget it. I sat down and he got his Bible out. And he was talking to me and stuff. And he said, I tell you what you need to do, Keith. You need to just start praising God. When he told me that, I was like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. That don't help me. I don't want to hear that. I need an answer. I need a fix. I need a solution. I don't need to hear that. You know what came? No solution. No fix. But I learned something that day. What he told me works. It works. You want to bring God glory? Let your world be upside down. And you start singing, God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. You say, I can't even sing it. I don't believe to sing it anyway. Just keep on singing it. Keep on singing it. And before you know it, Satan can't stand that. You're bringing God glory. You know how that shows off God? Because the world out there has the same problems you have. If you're here this morning, you're lost, let me help you with something. If you get saved, you still get flat tires. If you get saved, your husband's still a jerk. Amen? If you get saved, your children still talk back. If you get saved, you still get headaches. Getting saved don't make your problems go away. Not one bit. They don't fix you. That's not what it's about. You know how saved people, how we handle our crises brings God glory? Because when the world has the same problems you have and they see you have victory and joy in spite of your problems, they're like, I want what you've got. Because everybody wants peace. And everybody wants joy. And before you know it, God's glorified. Amen? Let me show you number three right fast. This is where I've been trying to get to. This is where God's been taking me lately. Number one, at the cross, God's glorified. How you doing at the cross? Number two, in your crisis, God's glorified. How you doing at the crisis? By the way, if this is your face, and every church member has a face, Brother Vinoy, you didn't tell me that. Don't worry about it. If there's any feedback over this message, it's 100% on me. He didn't tell me anything. But I guarantee you, he'll tell you, if you want him to be honest with you. He'll preach his guts out every Sunday. And the face of the Baptist is... the joy of the Lord. Jesus could come at any minute. You know why? Because our crises are killing us. Because what's in your heart comes out on your face. And now the face of the church out in the world is this. And then we wonder this. Wonder why young people don't want to come to our church. Wonder why so-and-so came and they didn't come back. Well, listen, would y'all go to Knoxville Neyland Stadium if 100,000 people get in with... No, I know the reputation. You know why, babe? You know why 100,000 people go to Knoxville? Because y'all act like a bunch of crazies. Rocky Top plays and everybody loses their mind. Mamaw's got orange shoes on and whatever. It's crazy over there. Why? Because people got some enthusiasm. Don't you think that's the way it should be? We got something to be happy about. Don't you agree? So you say, but preacher, I'm going through a hard time. Who ain't? There ain't a person in this building their life perfect right now. But like he said earlier, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's nothing bigger than whatever's going on in your world. There's God in me is bigger than anything that comes my way. All right, so I'm afraid our crises are robbing God of his glory. Then number three, and I'm done. A chorus will bring God glory. A chorus. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. This is where I'm at right now in my study on Revelation. And when I was thinking about preaching over here this morning, it's like God said, well, just share with them what we've been talking about. Revelation chapter number 5, the scene goes to heaven. And in the scenes in heaven, John notices that there's a seal, a scroll. Scroll's brought out, and it's sealed, and no man's found worthy to open that scroll. And then all of a sudden the announcement comes, there is one worthy. And of course, that's the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. And they said, he's worthy. And then a chorus breaks out in heaven. Such a chorus breaks out in heaven that the glory of God comes down. And by the way, that's what we're all headed to. Isn't that exciting? Some of you looking at me like, if you ever get this, you'll be so excited about heaven. You will be so pumped up. Listen, Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain as redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, I heard, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000, times 10,000, and thousands and thousands. And they were saying with a loud voice, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain to receive power and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and there it is. Glory. And glory. That number is so massive. They were saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And I was reading, as I was studying some of that, I was reading about John Piper's recollection. He said years ago, he was in Anaheim, California, at one of the Billy Graham crusades. And he said that he was there at that crusade that night. There's about 50,000 people there. And he said, I found my way back in the left field bleachers out in the outfield. And he said, as I looked across that crowd, and there were people all over the infield, 50,000 people. He said, all of a sudden they started singing, How Great Thou Art. And he said, I could barely get a few lines out, and I was overwhelmed as I just stopped and listened to the chorus of How Great Thou Art from 50,000 people lifting up their voices to God, worshiping, bringing glory to Him. And he said, that night I got a little taste of heaven. Just a little taste. Where I'm getting ready to go, they'll gather and they'll sing from the bottom of their toes. They will. They have no instruments. They have no microphones. They have no acoustics whatsoever. But I'm telling you, when they start singing, it's one of the most amazing things you've ever heard in your life. I wish I could just get one. I put it in a bottle and bring it. Just bring it to our churches in America. Last year, I was in a remote village way back in the middle of the valley, nowhere, and they started singing, and they said, it's your time to preach. And I got up there, and I said, could y'all sing just one more? I said, they don't sing like that in America. Now, follow me. I said, they don't sing like that in America. And the guy behind me turned to my wife and said, is that true? And she said, yes, it's true. You know what's sad? You're sitting here on your cushioned pew and your paved parking lot and your nice lights and your pocket full of money and your nice clothes and your pantry full of food and our big hospitals and doctor's offices and education. We got your Bibles. We got all this stuff. And our choruses sound like this. Let me tell you where God's at. He's gone. He's gone. You know what heaven's about? When the chorus breaks out, it brings Him glory. Glory. Glory and honor. Lifts up to His name. And who's there? Why? People from every kindred, every nation. They're all there. And one of the joys, Brother Vinoy, for me is going to be, I can't wait till I get there. I'm going to sing. Man, am I going to sing. I'm going to sing so loud, I'm going to let it roll. When I'm singing, I'm going to look over there, and there's going to be one of them little Mozambican boys that he never learned an ounce of English, but he's going to be singing the same song I'm singing. And then you're going to look over there, and there'll be somebody from Tennessee. There'll be somebody from North Carolina. There'll be somebody from Malawi. And there'll be a little Mawai, and she'll be standing on her own 2 feet. And she'll be singing a chorus like you've never heard before. Let me tell you something good about heaven. It's going to be a chorus breakout. And when that breaks out, you know, the thing that's going to just thrill our soul and something run through us is all of a sudden now we see God's glory fully revealed. See, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is your purpose is to show a little taste of His glory. But when we get to heaven, we see and get to see Him in His full glory. And when His full glory breaks out, wow, you won't be able to contain yourself. And they'll sing a song, worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation. You know what I believe? As I studied that even more, and you look about what worship is, worship actually comes from words means to fall down. And in the Eastern culture, not just to fall down, but to prostrate oneself. So the picture of actually what it looks like in heaven is not them standing singing, not them holding their songbooks and singing, not them sitting and singing. It looks like this, because remember, it's all about the glory of God. The picture is, we'll fall down worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. But then it tells us that they'll even prostrate themselves. The word worship means, it actually means to go down and touch one's forehead. Worthy is the Lamb. I'm not even worthy to stand in your presence. I'm not worthy to be here. I'm not worthy to say your name. Worthy is the one that was slain from the foundation of the world. Let me show you how far we've come. How many believe we serve the real God? How many believe Jesus is the only way? How many of you believe that He saved you? You know what the picture of worship looks like in our churches? This. The Muslims have a false god. You know what they do? They turn towards the city 3 times a day, bow, and do that. They're worshiping a false god. But they actually care more about their false god than we care about the real God. And we wonder, why is nobody getting saved? Why is nobody being changed? Maybe it's because we're not displaying His glory. Maybe we've lost sight of what our purpose is. Our purpose is to bring Him glory. I'll share this with you. I'm about done. Last week, after I studied that, I try to be a faithful student of God's Word, but I'll confess to you, I lack in my prayer life. Praying's hard work sometimes, don't you agree? I was taking a shower after I studied that the night before. I was taking a shower. Sometimes I pray while I'm taking a shower, and all of a sudden it hit me. When's the last time you just worshiped? I just got down in my shower. Said, God, worthy. Worthy. Before you know it, worthy, God. Worthy. It ain't about what you're doing physically. It's about your heart. It's about your heart. And when your heart's full of praise, guess what's going away? The grumbling and the complaining and the greed. All that starts going away. Now you look at what I've just preached to you. Look at how Satan's trying to rob God of His glory, and how it's working. How it's working. The cross, you bring God's glory by a changed life and by loving people. Look what's becoming very, very common among God's people. I'm not talking about church, among God's people. We're marring our testimonies. We're dabbling in secret sin. We're full of griping, gossiping, backbiting, and criticism. So we've lost our love. Instead of bringing God's glory, we're marring God's glory. Then you go over to our crises. Instead of us worshiping God unconditionally and praising Him like we should, we've turned into conditional worshipers. When God's good, we brag on Him. When He's bad, we're mumbling and complaining. Amen? I'm a big football fan, and every time I've noticed this every year, you'll never see an NFL player. You'll never see an NCAA player. Listen, you'll see many times this coming fall, they'll score a touchdown. They'll throw a touchdown pass and they'll point to the sky. I've never seen one yet lose a ball game and go.
You're right, brother. Or get hurt.
You know why? They're just like us. Long as everything's going good, hallelujah, praise be to God. When it's going bad, woe is me. God's not glorified in that. He's not glorified in that. So look how Satan's working this thing. See what's going on? And let's be honest. Our Christianity is turned into we're on the throne. See, when you looked at that a while ago, who was on the throne? The Lamb was on the throne. If you're going to worship, He's got to be Lord. He's on the throne. But I'm afraid American Christianity is this. Notice. Yes, Lord. Yes, God, I love You. Bless me. Make my marriage better. Give me peace. Answer my prayers. Do this for me. Do that for me. Let's just be honest. You want God to serve you. You want God to serve you. When's the last time you said, God, yea, though You slay me, I'll still trust You. Glory to Your name anyway. That brings Him glory. Don't you agree? You say, well, I thought You was going to tell me how He could glorify me if I'd done this, this, and this, and fill my bank account. Still about You. Still about You. The best-selling Christian books throughout recent history have been how you can be rich, how you can be blessed, how you can have a better this, how you can have a better that. Let's be honest. It's humanism. And it's in our churches. And it's in our thinking. God's on the throne. If you was Moai, could you still worship Him? If you couldn't walk, is God still good? If you lose every dime you've got, God's still good? You still got that joy in your heart? And then the third one's this, that chorus. That chorus. How you doing on your worship? 2021, July 28th. We got a pianist? Pianist? Come on, if you come play for me, please. Listen, July 28th, 2021, I preached at the Jubilee over at Trinity. And I remember preaching that morning. And then after I preached, as I was preaching, my dad was sitting back there, middle section. And he was I was preaching, and he was back there, tears falling down his eyes. And he was my biggest fan. He just support me. And over there at the Jubilee, it's like a thing where they have three preachers every service, something like that. And after I preached, I went back here and sat down beside him, and sat there, and we talked a little bit. And a couple more preachers got up there, and we talked and we laughed and just fellowship throughout the rest of the service. And after church was over, you know, people coming up talking to me, and Dad said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to slip out and go. I'll talk to you later." And I said, all right. I didn't know that was the last time I'd ever seen him alive. He's 75 years old. And after the Jubilee, me and my family went on vacation. And as I was on vacation, I got a phone call from him. He said, "Son, call me. I got something to tell you." And I called him, and he said, "I tested positive for COVID. Just want to let you know." Well, I didn't think anything about it. At this point, who hadn't tested positive for COVID? And I didn't think anything about it. I was on my way home. I called him back. Or I'm going to call the next morning and check on him. As I called and checked on him, he didn't answer the phone. I got a phone call from one of my other family members, said they had to rush him to the hospital. He wasn't breathing, wasn't good. Next thing you know, 5 days later, he's gone. He's gone. You know what became real to me? Heaven. Heaven became real to me. And I'm sitting here today. My mom's gone. My dad's gone. They're all in heaven. Heaven became real to me. Because there's a real reunion one day. And somebody's sitting here this morning, 2 weeks from now, you could be gone. Honest. It's that the line between here and eternity is very fine. It's very fine. And boy, that hit me. That hit me. And since then, it'll be a year, August 11th, when he passed away, 2021. It'll be a year here in a few weeks. But what hit me is this. Heaven's become more real. That reunion. I'm going to get to meet my loved ones, see my loved ones, this, that. But after I started this worship study, I realized heaven will be great when I get to see my loved ones. But the best thing's going to be when we get together around that throne and that one that was slain from the foundation of the world takes that book, starts breaking open them scrolls, breaking open them seals. And all those people bow down, start singing that chorus. I am excited about it. I am excited about it. I ask you, when's the last time you got excited about that? When's the last time that thrilled your soul to know I'm going to a meeting one day and I'm excited about it? We're going to get to see God's glory. Boom. Amazingly so. You know when that could happen? Any second. I'm excited about going to Africa, and the football season's coming up. I get excited about football. I get excited about different things. You know, we all get excited about stuff, right? When's the last time you got excited about that chorus that's coming? There's a chorus coming. And it's going to be wonderful one day. I'm telling you. So I just want to tell you this morning. Number one, you don't want to miss it. You hear me? You don't want to miss it. Because when you step into the presence of His glory, you're either going to bow in shame or you're going to bow in worship. If you bow in shame, it's too late to worship. It's too late to worship. But boy, when you bow to worship, it ought to be, I get to do what I've been doing my whole life, but now I get to do it fully. fully, I get to bring Him glory. Let's bow our heads for a minute. If you'll play for me just for a second.